There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's that time of the week again. The Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard, and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL tour. Two weeks in the can now, and 11 sides have won as the away team. So a bit of a weird way to start the year, usually home field being the advantage, but that is not the case. A couple of bounce back factors on the weekend. I think four or five teams that lost last week found their first win, bro.
Yeah, it's hard, always hard this time of the year trying to work out the form, but it is a little bit of a surprise. It's usually your default, you just tip the home team if you're in a toss-up game, but not the case so far. So no. Nightmare for tipsters and punters alike.
Yeah, well, I've snuck in with five both weeks in a row now, so just over 50%.
Yeah, well, you're doing very well.
But like you said, there's been a couple of games and obviously then upsets this week. I basically went a lot of teams to bounce back. A couple did. A few didn't, but you're not wrong. I saw a couple of people got perfect rounds last week. I couldn't believe that, to be honest. It's very, very rare at this time of the year, but kicking things off, our new setup, as we said last week, the set of six and obviously the power ranking set of six. We've thrown at you guys out there some topics. We've also got some of our own that we'll talk about. But Brock, what for you is your first one up on the set of six?
Would be Tim Simona.
Yep, well, we had on the page.
The charge, obviously, that he was... Well, he wasn't really handed a charge, was he? He was handed an indefinite ban, if that's what you call a punishment. Obviously, how long is indefinite is the question. People are saying 3 to 4 years. I'm not too sure. I think Todd Greenberg should just come out and said life ban.
Yeah, well, I heard...
Said that last week.
Graham Annesley was on the radio yesterday. They said if he was available in a couple of years' time and he was allowed to come back, would you sign him? And he said categorically no. I wouldn't wait.
It's easy to say now.
Yeah, obviously. But I think all around, all CEOs, given the circumstance, you wouldn't sign him. And I know a lot of people are already out there, so they didn't want to hear about Hayne or Simona, but too bad. It's one of those topics. I think given in light of last week, we're only talking about the betting allegations, I had a very different opinion on some of that. But the thing that was really disappointing to me yesterday was hearing about the charities.
Yeah, selling jerseys.
Your own gear and pocketing the money. That's as low as it gets. It's absolutely rotten to the core. There's no way you should allow anyone.
And even his ex-partner blackmailing him and saying, give me 10 grand for my boobs, otherwise it's just, yeah. It's a mess, the whole lot of it.
It's the same as we were talking last week. It's just more disappointing, again, that everyone kind of get towed with this brush that's a football player because of this situation. So.
Well, it's even... Take this aside, take the charges aside, he had no money. He was pissing away his money, gambling away his money. Well, like, he was asking for advances on his contract.
He lost his license in 2012. He didn't have a car. He's renting. He's on $300,000+, and he's been playing first grade since he was 18, 19. So
how doesn't he have any money?
He doesn't own a house. Like I said, they were renting.
Living with his parents.
He's not driving. I think he pays the rent. But as far as the circumstances are now, what he's done, I think the lucky thing for him, and whether that eventuates or not, is that there's different rules as far as playing in France. A lot of people just bail over there. And I'm pretty sure from speaking to a couple of guys that have been, the first 2 years are tax-free. So he's probably going to find a way around this and get some money. But
yeah, money might come in, but habits don't change, do they?
Well, so that's the main thing.
Let's hope that his habits change. I coached Paul, his brother, I think younger brother.
Yeah, he's younger.
At Penrith 2 years ago, he was floating around in the reserve grade.
Mm-hmm.
Quite unassuming. You know, certainly wasn't an out there sort of guy, nice enough. So I think their parents have raised good boys, but you can't, you know, I guess, determine the decisions people are going to make, can you? So,
well, I'm just going to put it out there again. I heard too much of it this morning, and a bunch of the old jockeys on the Studio 10 show that have absolutely no idea about the real world, going, the NRL doesn't educate him, the NRL doesn't do this, why didn't somebody know about this? If he's operating in his own circles outside of the team, which he clearly was, given the text message and the people he was talking about, how's anyone supposed to know? And I said it last week, you know it because you're at clubs, I've been at clubs as well, you get plenty of education. You know what's right, what's wrong.
He knew it. There's a text message printed in the paper said, if I do this, match fixing, career over. Simple. He knew it.
These idiots, though, on TV again, just taking shots. At, you know, they don't educate.
Oh, they're idiots.
You don't know the first thing
about the whole Do your research if you're going to have an opinion, at least.
All the players know it. I know it. You know it. Coaching, everything. You get plenty of education. There's welfare. You know the rules. You know the ins and outs. And just to say, oh, it's the NRL's fault again, this and that, not educated, rah, rah, rah. Why didn't somebody know? You have people in your team that don't operate around team play. There's guys that are quieter. There are guys that float around groups. Not everyone is very, included in everything, or doesn't talk to everyone or communicate. Some people are right in the middle in the thick of a group. So, like you said, he's probably a quiet, unassuming bloke. He might not have much to do with most people at the club. So, how this has gone on for God knows how long outside of it. But he basically admitted that.
This is only what we know as well. Yeah. Like what's happened that we don't know about,
Yeah, betting on his own, doing all these bits and pieces. But we'll move on from that. I think we'd both assume, after what we've heard yesterday, I'm with you, life ban. There's no way I'd bring him back. There's no way I'd let him play in the NRL again. Tackle two.
Injuries galore. So, obviously, Inglis, Scott, Hayne, Coote, Winterstein, a lot of injuries.
There is a lot. There's been a fair few concussions through the first 2 weeks. A lot of blokes that have been scrubbed out. I think it's just result of the first couple of rounds. Tough. I think things have been much more up-tempo. The game's been faster. I think that's been a really, really good thing. I think the quality of the game's been better for that reason. Obviously, people are starting to head away a little bit more from the wrestle, but I really like the standard. I think it's increased, and for that reason, that the game's been played at a higher pace, we're seeing more impact.
Yeah, it's just...
But it's also a luck thing.
It's hard. ACLs... I mean, I was even looking at, I don't want to bring up other codes, but looking at the AFL and the Super Rugby, and they've got a huge amount of injuries as well. So it's not like it's a rugby league specific sort of thing. It's just sad because you don't see the best players on the field. Like, we've got Matty Scott, who's out for the season, Inglis, who's out for the season, Hayne, who, he's playing like a bastard, but you'd much rather see everyone on the field playing. So it is a bit of a concern. I think it's foolish. Like yesterday, they played that game out at Campbelltown at a 4 o'clock kickoff. How that game wasn't played at night is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it was 31 degrees out west. For anyone that lives out here yesterday, I was feeling the pinch, to be honest. I looked outside and thought, Christ, it'd been nice and cool for a week or two, but certainly flared up yesterday.
You notice the Cowboys games and the Gold Coast games and the Brisbane games have all been on at night because it's obviously the climate up there is hot. Western Sydney's no different. No. I'd probably say it's worse. The humidity here is crazy. It's not on Cowboys level, but it'd be, I think it's more humid here than what it would be in Brisbane and on the Gold Coast because they're next to the coast.
Yeah. Well, I think the Titans and the Cowboys in particular suffered some bad injuries on the weekend, so I'll have to see how that plays out for them moving forward. But tackle three.
Two lost teams under the most pressure.
Well, I think Manly is most definitely one of them because they've obviously got dramas.
Well, it depends what angle you're looking at it from. If you're looking at it from a performance perspective, it's got to be the Raiders because they're underperforming. But you're right. I think pressure across the board, it's Manly.
Yeah, well, Manly, again, I had in here for one of our next tackles is then the Manly drama full stop. You've got Bob Fulton having a problem with Cleary, the new bloke. He's kind of come in. He's apparently sacked his daughter for one part of it. Two of his sons are involved in the club. Bob Fulton's obviously back at the club. Barrett's had 2 years now. They've flipped over 26 players. They've lost over 1,000 games worth of experience with no matter, no Lyon. The Stewart brothers pushed out numerous guys leaving the last 2 years. And to be honest, they've kind of patched it up, like we said. I said it last week. I look at their back row. I'm not impressed by it. There's a fairly light on back at Lyon. There's a couple of guys in the forward pack or on the bench. And a couple of guys get suspended straight away. Lussick's injured. Perrott's injured. You look at Green, Cherry Evans and the Trebojeviches, that's about the only kind of bits I look at their team and I think positively about. But
well, I think Tom's playing
out of his skin. So is Jake.
For that side, yeah. It's their team really, isn't it? Like they're flying. Cherry Evans has been irrelevant. Blake Green's been very disappointing. And I'm a massive fan of Blake Green. From his time in Melbourne, I was really happy to see him go there, but it just proves when you don't have that key player in that simplified role and you're expected to create and do a little bit above yourself, but Blake Green at the moment is struggling with that. So
dead set, though. They're the Sopranos off the field. It's just like the mob. They just want to take each other one by one. All these people knifing each other, getting each other in the back. I think they've got some big problems at Manly, and we both said it kind of more so last year that there was going to be a bit of turnover, and then again this year that you can't see anything in the near future that really makes you feel any more comfortable about it, but the off-field stuff is just as disappointing as the on-field, and the panic to quickly patch this team up and some of the money they've handed out to Dylan Walker, Nate Miles, etc., they've kind of got themselves real stitched up in a hole. And besides the Trebojevic brothers, I don't see a whole lot of good.
Yeah, Tom's developing really nicely. He played outstanding on the weekend. And Jake, he just does his job.
He's exceptional.
You get ultra consistency from him. But the one obvious one is Desi Hasler, because they played on Thursday, so their loss sort of got swept under the carpet a bit. I didn't think the Roosters played particularly well.
I thought the Bulldogs were spirited, similar to their, you know, I thought they showed some spirit the week before. It's the attack again, and they lost Hopewade. Greg Easwood went off with an injury. Holland went off, so it was a bit hard to finish the game off, missing a couple of players, but I guess he's under the pump full stop.
Yeah, but the Roosters lost players as well. That's crap. Like, the Roosters lost players as well.
He's under the pump full stop, so he's not the one I'm looking at as much, probably so as Manly, and then you mentioned the Raiders.
So who if they keep losing, say in 2 weeks' time we're sitting here, they're both 0-4, do they both still have their job?
Who are we talking about?
Barrett and Hasler.
I think Barrett will probably get to see the year out. Hasler, on the other hand, I think they might pull the extension, but I don't think he's too worried. I don't think Manly, if things go awry there, would be crazy not to go back. I'm pretty sure Peter Peters the other day came out and said that they would never knock back Hasler being there, and then if he ever got sacked from the Bulldogs, they'd sure have a job lined up, which obviously we've heard the Dragons are waiting in the whims regardless of what happens. So I think he'll land on his feet, but I've seen people the other day, and I think you had somebody on Twitter, and I know a lot of people were kind of going on and trying to defend Des Hasler, saying it's the halves and this and that. He bought those players. He's had full control. This situation he's created at the Bulldogs is his own. He hasn't changed. He hasn't adapted. That's his squad. He's the reason they're going poorly. He bought those players. That's the style he wants to play.
Well, my argument was is that you can't really change your style when you bought players to play that style.
But they're his players.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he's, you know,
he's built the roster around playing that style of football.
Exactly.
So he's handcuffed to that style. I said that in the preview.
Mm.
And Luke Keary gifted him 2 tries. Luke Keary missed a simple tackle, was soft on his inside shoulder, and he
bounced
missed
over
bounced over the ball. That both led to tries. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, I'd say Manly and probably the Raiders more from the performance standpoint, but the Bulldogs also right there. I've got here tackle 4, the Cowboys moving forward, the path ahead for them. Obviously, a lot of injuries there, but their next couple of games, given the injuries, they've basically confirmed that Scott's out. They're going to be missing Lachlan Coote and then Winterstein. So there's 3 kind of injuries there. And I think Bolton also got a bad head knock. But
I'm not too worried about the injuries in the backs, because they've got Gideon Gallen-Mosby. They've got Ponga.
Think Ponga gets fullback for me. And then I think Jarvid Bowen comes in before Mosby to take the wing spot.
But so, I'm saying they've got depth there, is the point. Matt Scott's a huge loss, massive loss. And I love him as a player, and his importance to that side is massive, particularly on the back of losing Tarmow. So you've lost your international front row. Gone.
Yeah.
That's going to be difficult to patch up. I like Cohen Hess. I like Asiata. I like Bolton. I think they're all solid players, but it's just going to be the depth that's going to be tested. So your bench isn't going to be as strong.
I think
some guys are going to have to play longer minutes.
Paddy Kafusi's the other one you haven't mentioned. I thought he's been good the first two weeks. The 2 guys to come in, I think everyone's already forgotten that Fensham's gone up there. He can play that tight role. I know his carry's not that great, but you're not going
to push Chalmalala up to the front row?
I'd probably put Hess to start front row. And then I think the other guy there that they have massive wraps on, come from their 20 system, then went out to play some cup, but is now back with them, is Corey Jensen. They said that he'd be part of that front row rotation at some point.
Yeah, but you could play Fensham at 13, Chalmalala up front with Hess, and you sort of covered.
I was more looking, obviously Chalmalala might get suspended this week, but the next 3 games ahead, it's not really a bad situation to have, considering the changes. They've got Manly this week.
At home.
Got your mob, the Titans, possibly without Hayne and LG for a couple more weeks, and Pete's, and then they get Souths after that. So for the next 2 weeks, I think
they'll flog the Titans.
I think
they're second, their reserve grade side to flog the Titans.
Yeah, so we're obviously not too worried about the Cowboys going forward. I think they can patch things up. Tackle number 5, it's the Titans' year. Is it in doubt for you?
Gone. I said it last week. They're gone. They're screwed.
The Jared Hayne situation, LG's pop shoulder.
Okay, so
pop shoulder.
Look at it off field, it doesn't look good. Look at it on field, it doesn't look good. And when's it getting better?
Do you feel any better about the situation given the fact the options in Hayne's favour, not the club's favour?
Well,
if things were going pear-shaped and there was nothing, he can just say yes.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
And hang
in. That is what's going to happen. I really hope someone in Sydney is stupid enough to pick him up and take him on. Like, not stupid from an on-field performance perspective, because we know what he can deliver, but does he do that consistently? No. Who's really looking for a fullback in Sydney?
I don't think there's anyone really in the NRL. They were talking about the Roosters.
Okay, so we go around the clubs in Sydney. You've got Cronulla, who have had a little bit of shuffling at fullback, but there's no way they're going to want to bring him into that culture that have just won a comp. Newcastle have just signed Ponga. You've got the Roosters, who have got Mick Gordon. You've got Parramatta, who've got Bevan French. the Panthers who have got Moylan, the Tigers who have got Tedesco.
Yeah, but no one's going
to... Oh, well, maybe the Bull, particularly maybe the Bulldogs.
No one's going to outlay that kind of money anyway. No one's going to have that money. You guys were the only ones who had any room with the marquee. You're because right, of because the
Bulldogs are paying Hopewadi and Morris both huge money.
Well, they've got Abbey there as well, so they've got a lot of guys tied up. It's basically...
South, they've got Inglis.
Who's got marquee money? Almost no one's got the kind
the
of money.
Dragons?
Oh, they've already spent on Hunt, and they're going to have to spend on a few more boys, so... DeBellin's going to get a big deal. There's a lot of guys there already, so like I said, I don't really see anyone who...
Yeah, I just think... It was stupid to handcuff ourselves to Hayne. I didn't think we needed Hayne. I would have been really happy for us to sign Hayne when we did, not have him play the rest of that year and then have him start fresh in the preseason. I think that would have been a better way to go from my point of view. But I don't know. I think we lost too much to gain Hayne. I still don't understand how if we're underneath the cap last year. And we, when we get Hayne, how we can't then keep the players that we let go. And Brisbane, of all teams, can go and sign, you know, David Mead and...
No,
I don't get it. The salary cap's a crock of shit. I look at from a Titans perspective, we're NRL owned. From a Newcastle perspective, NRL owned. They were, you know, the numbers have been bandied around that they get, what, 300,000 in third parties. And you've got other teams paying millions and millions of dollars in third parties.
You can't compete.
And as a fan, I'll stick by them. But it doesn't give you much hope. The most hope you probably got is they sneak into the finals like they did last year. But last year we finished ninth. We didn't finish eighth. It was only that Parramatta got the punt that we got in. So, and I thought we played exceptionally well to get there. And I didn't think we could repeat that type of performance even with Hayne in the side. So,
yeah.
Look, I hope things turn around, but. Give me a positive coming out of the Titans at the moment. What's positive?
Not a whole lot. And basically what I said...
Well, a positive. I think maybe the performance of Jared Wallace has been good. He's been a good buy. I think outside of that, I can't really give you anyone who's played well.
I was going to say, no offence on the situation.
Kevin Proctor hasn't played well.
I think Kevin Proctor would be regretting his decision at this point in time to have left Melbourne. That's just not trying to be too biased from that angle, but...
Well, clearly...
From sitting where he was and the club culture and the dramas that are going on right now, I don't think he's feeling too good about the situation.
And I'm just looking at it going, well, it's a matter of time now before Ash Taylor goes back to Brisbane.
Well,
there's a whole rung of different things that'll spiral out of this awful situation, horrendous situation. You know, I look at Newcastle and this time last year, if you said to me the Titans, in 12 months' time, the Titans would be in a worse spot than Newcastle, I would have laughed at you. But I'm looking at it now going, well, I think we are.
Well, I think player-wise, as far as your best 17, as far as club not right situation, now. Things are...
But in 12 months...
Things are quite dramatic. And then LG popping his shoulder out, that's not a good thing. After only just get back from a knee, so...
Yeah.
Going to be interesting to see what happens there. But the last tackle to finish off, I want to go to a more positive note. I was trying to toss up between Golden Point again from the Brisbane Broncos and the Cowboys, or Smith and Jonathan Thurston both cracking 2,000 points. I'll probably stick with the 2,000 points for those two players on the same night.
It was only a matter of time.
Two exceptional players. Absolutely privileged to be watching them over these past years, and it's going to be very, very sad when they retire, but what an amazing career, or what amazing players they've been.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy that they did it on the same night. And that was pretty crazy. Probably wasn't even a scheduling. The NRL had no control of the scheduling. That was just a...
2 hours apart to freak 2,000 points. And Cameron Smith now, I think, was in 20 games of breaking the all-time record as far as games played.
So he'll do it this year.
By the end of this year, as long as Origin and Origin. Finals...
It could be Grand Final. He could make the Grand Final.
Unless something goes awry. By the next year, he could exceptionally smash that out of the park.
He'll go to 400. He's going to go to 400.
Crazy by both those players, but that's the set of six. We jump now in before we do your fan questions or what questions you put up to our power rankings. Obviously, last week, something we introduced. I think from looking at mine, I've had two drop out and only two come in right at the bottom. But starting off, who is your number one?
It's the Storm.
Mine's the Storm as well. Obviously, two solid performances missing Bromwich, Harris, and Billy Slater still possibly to come back. I've been really impressed by the back three, and I've been really impressed by Riley Jackson his first two games.
And he tipped against them, mate.
Mate, reverse jinx keeps working, so I'm going to keep...
Idioto! I had the Cowboys ranked one last week, and they've won two, so the Storm. I just think the Storm's win was more impressive, and I'm also taking into account the injuries that the Cowboys have sustained.
Yeah, and like I said, Melbourne's obviously winning without a couple of players that are going to get back, so yeah. My number two is the Roosters. Obviously, two games, they've looked good for 40 minutes, probably in both of them, but that's the scary part. I think if they can even put together 65, 70 minutes, they'd absolutely blow just about anyone off the park, but yet to be seen.
Yeah, I've got the Cowboys. I think if they played, Roosters Cowboys played this weekend, I think the Cowboys would win. So yep. That's the only reason I've got them ahead of the Roosters.
Your number three?
The Roosters.
All right. Well, my number three is Parramatta.
Yep.
I think Parramatta have been exceptionally tough. I liked the recruitment in the forward pack, which you spoke about in the offseason. I think, again, yesterday, this is not quite... It's in the mould of Brad Arthur. It's a Brad Arthur team. You can pick his attitude. It's rubbed off him and his influence. And I think the Spine's doing a good job. And it's scary to think that they're playing basically under the cap this year, given the situation that was handed to him last year by the club. So he's still got moves to make, and he's going to be able to bring players in. But exceptional job by him so far.
My number four is the Broncos.
All right. My number four was the Cowboys. And mainly, like you said, the injuries and things like that are the only reason I've dropped them down a few pegs.
Yeah. So top four, I've got Storm, Cowboys, Roosters, Broncos.
Yep. Storm, Roosters, Eels, and Cows. Number five.
I've got the Eels. Yeah. I was looking at the Eels. I wanted to rank them higher. But I look at who they've played. They've played Manly and St George, and they're two teams who I think will finish in the bottom four. So, and they play the Titans this week, who I expect them to smash. They're going to play Parramatta, in my opinion, they're going to play three of their bottom four teams in the first three rounds. So, look, I think they'll win, and they're going to look good. But I think the test for Parramatta will be, can they sustain it when they run into some, you know, better opposition.
Yeah, my number five is the Cronulla Sharks. I thought they were pretty solid in week one, and they're still missing a couple of players. But to go down to Canberra, absolutely run right on the Raiders, and obviously they lost Beal before kickoff. Two late changes to their bench. It was very, very impressive. And I know, like I said, a lot of people started knifing him before the season even started, saying they missed the finals. I don't see how you could say they're going to miss the finals.
No, I don't think they will. I've got the Broncos at six. I've got the Sharks at six.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've got the Broncos at six again. Tough loss. They got a grounded a tough win first up. Ben Hunt was a little bit better. They've been solid without being too outstanding. But again, they're only going to get better as the year progresses. There's a lot of guys off contract. So I think their best football is still yet to come.
Yeah. Seven, I've got the Panthers.
Yep. I got the Panthers in. Obviously disappointing week one, but... we had a lot of people out there, Tigers fans, doing seal clap and talking about how we've underrated them after one round, and that key word we brought up all the time, consistency. And where's it been the last 4 years? And
they got pumped.
1 week later, you kicked a penalty goal. That's it. So that's the reason why you don't start clapping after one round. So
correct.
Panthers exceptional through the middle. Much, much better yesterday, and brilliant to finally see Viliame Kau healthy and make his first grade debut, and what a scary one it was. And he's number eight.
The Warriors.
I've got the Warriors as well. It was between them and South, but obviously...
I think they won first week, and I questioned that form because we didn't know how good Newcastle were going to be. I took Newcastle on trust, and I was the only one out of the three of us that tipped them. I think that's a good win now that you look at Newcastle's form, and I think the loss against Melbourne was a good loss. Like, I didn't think they were great, but it was horrendous conditions, and they don't like that. That suited Melbourne to the ground. That sort of weather. So, look, I give the Warriors a pass mark. Put it that way, I give them a 5 out of 10. So, and I think if they can sustain that, they'll just sneak into the 8.
Well, on top of that, I think losing Sheck early on didn't help. You got the foreign situation. Whether he comes back and plays well is yet to be seen. But there's two exceptional players that are still yet to come back in their lineup. So you'd expect better things. If obviously Sheck got to stay on the field and they had Kieran Foran in their lineup. But that is our pair rankings. Again, we'll put them up. Get your top eight. If you agree, you disagree, give us your thoughts. And looking at the page here, obviously we put up about any issues or any questions. So going through what you guys had, a lot of people not interested in hearing about Hayne and Simona, but hey, that's the breaks. It's obviously one of those topics that's up right now. But Joshua Ng, Cowboys injury crisis, so they're still a premiership contender. Lost Tarmow, Hennett in the off-season. How can they cope now? Losing Matt Scott, your three most experienced forwards. So I guess he's basically going on what we're going about. And then losing Coote, Winterstein as well. But I think Scott is a massive loss as far as the whole year is concerned. But you've got Fensham there. You've got Tarmow. You've got Hess. I think they'll find a way to patch things up. I think they're exceptionally coached side. And then you've got Callum Ponga. I'm sure Newcastle are probably seal clapping right now that he's going to have to basically be used unless they put Geller in. But I'm sure they're going to put Ponga at fullback.
Yeah, well, you think so. Look, we said it just before. I think Matt Scott's a double whammy because they let Tamo go. So that just hurts him even more.
And Josh said here, it'd be interesting to see if Ponga does get the nod. And I agree with him. He said, is Paul Green going to be spiteful? But I think they have no choice in this situation.
Why would you be spiteful? That's ridiculous.
They don't have another fullback.
It's like saying that Wayne Bennett will punt Ben Hunt.
Yeah, he's too good a player.
The climate for that's changed. Like, back in the day, I know Bennett did it to Hodges, but that was 10, 15 years ago. So
yeah, I think they'll be right, Joshua. I think as far as the premiership side of things, maybe later in the year if they use a couple more people, but Scott Tarmour, massive losses, but still a very, very talented side all round. Jeremy Vaine-Tempest, he's got that there about Matt Scott's injury as well. What does it mean for the Cowboys in Queensland? Can they make the top four without him? Hess is an option, but he strikes me as more of an edge back row, and Bolton starting the front was already the stopgap solution. Well, it wouldn't surprise me again if mid-year they made a move for somebody that was available to try and boost that stock up. But Jensen's there, Fenton's there. I think Hess can do that job. Tamalolo's been playing 70-plus minutes. I think they'll find a way around it. So as far as Queensland,
I now look at the Cowboys, like I tipped them as premiers, and I've got to readjust that based on those injuries. I don't know whether they can win the comp if Matt Scott's not there.
I think they're still going to be a top four side.
I don't know.
The halves pairing, the fullback, the back line, the back row.
Well, they're 2-2. That's a good start. And they've played, who did they play first round? Canberra. And they've played Brisbane. Two tough sides. So, yeah.
Well, the halves and Tamalolo alone is enough for me to say they're a top four side. I think Scott, honestly, back into last year was slowing down. He's getting older, and that's why they don't want to pay him and bring in possibly Jordan McLean. For Queensland, mate, I think it simply means that Napa, Maguire, Papali, who played some front row for Australian Queensland, take that spot. So I don't think they'll be too fussed about it. They'll find a way around it.
It might be a positive for Queensland.
I think it is. They'll blood someone young. Alistair Locke, don't worry about Tim Simono. How does DC sleep at night? Well, absolutely robbing the Seagulls for $1 million-plus a year. So he's got there. Without the brothers, Trbojevic, they'd lose by 50.
We agree. His form has been disgusting, Daly Cherry Evans, and I saw a press conference today, just this afternoon, where he's laughing off suggestions about Barrett being under pressure and all this sort of stuff, and admitted that they need to win in order to get that pressure off him. Well, mate, if this is your team, you're the million-dollar man, you backflip to stay there, and you've played like poop ever since.
Yeah, exactly. And again, he asked for Nate Miles and a couple of these guys to get the forward pack, and he's seeing the results now of not having another.
He's got no excuse. He's got Green there. He's got Trbojevic there. He's got Api Korosau, who's not a fantastic hooker. He's won a comp, Api Korosau.
Mm.
He's proved that he's a solid first grader. There's certainly worse spines in the competition.
I'm not talking
going better. I'm talking about from DCE's perspective.
Mm.
He's got good players around him. Yeah, I know he doesn't have a great forward pack, obviously, but man.
Yeah, he should be doing a lot more than what he's doing.
They're underachieving.
But he's the one who asked for Nate Miles, and they got Lussick back, a couple of these guys.
Which is stupidity, because you should never handcuff yourself to a player and who the player wants. Like, I know DCE and Nate Miles are good friends or whatever, but your recruitment and retention decisions need to be based on... Well, they need to be based on intelligence, not on relationships, based on performance. And
Bob Fulton come in, did his own thing. Jerry Cherry Evans, he basically handed the keys to him. So between the two of them right now, I think that's the reason they're in the mess they're in. But
yeah.
Cameron Patmore, Roosters' defence and errors could be costly against a stronger team. Well, if they made those kind of errors against a full-strength Melbourne, or if they play the Cowboys, obviously, as a healthy side, Canberra in best form, obviously not the form they're in now, or the Sharks, or even Penrith this week, I'd agree with you.
I think both games, the Roosters were playing with their food. They knew...
They get bored.
They knew they were much better than both sides. Even down 12-0, like three tries to the Bulldogs, they didn't blink, the Roosters.
Yeah, not really.
And they ran all over them at will, and the lapses in concentration and the errors and stuff, they do worry me a little bit, but they don't worry me a great deal because it's round two. And I know Trent Robinson will be tearing them a new one this week.
No, 100%. He's got high standards.
And they'll be up for Penrith. They'll be up for Penrith out here because they know that, you know, they're a genuine premiership threat and, you know, they were premiership favourites and all that sort of stuff. So the Roosters know they're in for a game, and coming out here on a Saturday night isn't easy.
Yep. Chris Sammet, is someone seriously going to pay Luke Brooks big money? He was terrible yesterday. Well, I gotta say, I think between him and Moses, and obviously Woods is looking for money, the only one I'd pay or feed, and I've said it a million times, is Tedesco. Between the other three, the kind of money they're talking about, I wouldn't pay any of them.
No.
Oh. I heard someone say the other day they'd pay Moses the money that Ben Hunt got before they paid Ben Hunt.
Right, no.
And that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
No. You've got to sign Tedesco. You sign Tedesco, you can attract halves.
Yeah. You can
they can walk and even sign someone else.
I'm not paying Moses $900.
If I've got to pay Tedesco $1.5 million, I probably would.
I'd pay him, like I said last week. You're talking about Hunt money. I'd be willing to go that far for Tedesco.
$1.5 million, $1.5 million He's exceptional. He gets the ball and he looks like he's going to score inside 20 every time.
He's absolutely ridiculous.
I think they're pretty much sorted at nine with a young little. So halves are obviously a concern. Ideally, you'd want to keep one. And if I was going to keep one, it'd be Moses. But I wouldn't pay Moses I wouldn't pay Moses a cent over 700.
I wouldn't even pay him seven. I'd pay him probably six maximum. I'd pay him seven. That's pushing it big time. But I can't believe they're talking 900. That's absolutely craziness. Zach Maitland and Dave Boyle. No Hayne or Simona talk, please. Well, it's just one of those issues that has to be addressed, gents. So I had to do that.
Well, we haven't really spoken about either of them.
No. Jeremy, he's on here again about the Matt Scott thing. We've already addressed that. Brendan Loftus, he's asked about the Cowboys doing the exact same thing we've talked about and how they will handle it. I think, obviously, going forward, I still think they're a top four side, but that's yet to be seen. Jordan Palmer, off topic, seeing the All-Stars game is losing popularity. Would you rather All-Stars be replaced with a Maori All-Stars side?
Which no, I'd just rather piss it off altogether.
I just can't.
It's terrible.
Again, as far as a bloke who sees players go into it from your own team as well, I think there's nothing worse than when someone gets hurt, so... he's also put up there about Billy Slater coming back. Well, we spoke about this before the season even kicked off, that they basically handed him the keys to when he felt mentally prepared to come back. He basically said, round three against Brisbane at home. So I'm fully expecting that he'll be playing fullback this week.
Yeah, I'm not assuming. I think he's going to play
fullback. I think he's going to be back too. Aaron Wood, how can a blatant forward pass Broncos-Cowboys game be missed by two referees and a touch judge? Shouldn't the bunker be able to intervene if that's the case and it's not clear?
No, they shouldn't. The referees on field need to pick it up. And it was right in front of the touch judge, so no excuses. Even referees aside, because they're not always in line with it. That touch judge was right in line with it. And it looked like he stopped, knowing it was a forward pass, but just didn't make the call. So... it was one of those ones. I thought the Cowboys got a lot of bad calls, and then I thought it evened up late in the game. They got a couple of nice calls. So, look, I don't understand why we have the bunker and then we're winding back how much we use it. I would have thought if we're going to spend that much money, we should be increasing its use and trying to make the game, get those things right. But I also understand that we don't want to mess with the fabric of the game. We want to make it free-flowing, et cetera, et cetera. So... look, I'm happy with the medium that we've got at the moment. There's no doubt that the way the referees are refereeing at the moment, it won't be the same in 4 or 5 weeks.
No, it always changes after the first few weeks. That's something we've seen consistently over the last couple of years.
But the long and the short is he should have picked that forward pass up. The touch, he should have. No excuses. Forget the bunker. The guy, the touch judge on the field needs to have the balls to make that call.
Yeah, it was a blatant forward pass. But Aaron Wolf, why can one player drag a player close to the sideline without stopping the play? And then the player get called, but when the same thing happens and 2, 3 or 4 players come in, it's fine to push the tackle player out in case of TRD.
I don't understand what he means by TRD. Oh, try, except he got called to stop momentum. Yeah, I don't really understand it. But look, the rule is if someone's on the ground, you put a hand on him, he's held. That's why. If it's a tackle, when I tackle you and you hit the ground and slide over the line.
TRD, he's talking about Tyron Roberts-Davis from your team.
Got you.
When he drags somebody. Sorry, I've just...
oh, he kept doing it as well. Roberts-Davis kept doing it. And it was frustrating me. But the obvious one was the one last night in the Parramatta game. I think Bevan French flopped on a ball and I think it was Dugan and someone else. They should be able to.
They got him in one clean motion.
But you're not allowed to. As soon as you put a hand on someone, he's tackled.
But that relates probably to the next one we've got here with Matt Johnston saying we need to sort out this voluntary tackle bullshit.
So correct, obviously yeah. Yeah, so you're either Bevan French in that situation, it's a penalty, voluntary tackle, or it's free for all.
That one clean motion, like I said, I have no problem with it. When someone
I don't have a problem with him picking him up.
That's fine.
But then it becomes an injury and a player welfare issue. So I'm more inclined to go the way of if you dive and don't get up, it's a penalty.
Yep, with you 100% there. Joshua Wilson, should the video refs be able to rule on forward passes? Some dud calls that may look worse if they can't.
No, it just, you know why, Joshua? Because it slows the game down.
Yep.
It makes sense and it you probably would get them all right, but it just, and you're going to have some called and some not called. So at the moment, the touch judges have really got to step up. I reckon we could go to 2 touch judges. One that follows the play and one that keeps them back 10. You could even go to that. Or have a line judge or something. I don't know. Because at least if someone's in line with the play, they're there to make those calls on forward passes.
Yep, that's always...
because sometimes the referee is holding them back 10.
Mm.
Sometimes the touch judge holding the 10. Sometimes the touch judge is in line with the game. So you're going to get, sometimes they're in line to call it, and they do. Other times, there's one, particularly from dummy half, if they're holding the 10, they can't see the forward pass from dummy half. They're not in line with it.
They can't see.
So, and then you notice when they're on the play, on the ball, they call them straight away, forward, forward, you hear them through the mic. So
yeah.
I think there's a case for even having two touch judge, or one that has a flag, obviously, that does the line judging and keeping them back 10, but just a referee that walks along the sideline in line with the play to do the forward passes.
Yep, there's a few bits on Twitter just to finish off here. Joey at Dragons Man Forever. The Dragons game just goes to show, no matter how good or bad your team is, if you don't control the ball, you will not win.
Yep, some things never change in 100 and, what, almost 10 years of footy, so 109 years of footy.
Seath Keldon, what will it take for Bob Fulton to stop sabotaging Manly? He took a winning culture and turfed it for crap. So, mate, we basically touched that point before. I'd agree with you. There's way too much influence from him, and obviously he's the one who came in, handcuffed into Dally Chair Evans, said to make him that offer, and look at the situation they've got themselves in now. So, I don't see a whole lot of positives there, besides the two Chavoyevich brothers, but let's see what happens going forward. Michael Johnson, people always saying the Dogs are uncreative when they go out each and every week and find a new creative way to disappoint me.
Mm.
So he's obviously not feeling the love. Sorry about that, mate, and watching the old doggy struggle there. And that wraps up everything we've got there on social media as far as questions from everybody. We'll do the reviews of the games from the weekend, kicking off with the Roosters 28-24 over the Bulldogs, as just spoken about then. Pretty slow start from the Roosters, made a couple of errors inside yardage, struggled to get out, and were really losing the field position battle. But they fought back, and it was surprising to see that probably two guys that really turned the momentum come off the bench. I thought Ryan Madison and Zane Tedavano had a huge influence off the game.
Zane Tedavano, that was, have to be close to his best performance in first grade, I would have thought. You know, and he obviously hasn't played a lot of first grade recently, but yeah, look, I thought the Roosters, as I said before, they played with their food, they mucked about, got in a bit of a hole. They seemed to kick up and really put the Dogs under some pump. But whenever they sort of got themselves ahead and
they let the Dogs back in the game,
they just make a dumb
error or a penalty.
They just kept, particularly their middles. I thought their middles were terrible coming out of yardage. Guerra made a couple of key errors.
Yeah,
Warrior Hargreaves made a couple of key errors in yardage. Just, they're not going to be able to do that against Penrith.
The edges defensively were worried me. Latrell Mitchell went for the ball three or four times. Keary obviously got beaten pretty poorly a couple of times. There's some real simple stuff they could fix up. And
sliding on there while the ball's on their inside. There's plenty they can fix up, the Roosters, but the good thing is that they've won.
Yeah, they still won. I'd have to, like I said, give a wrap again. I think Madison was exceptional along with Tedavano, but Jake Friend was the clear standout for me.
Yeah, his 40-20. That was, we saw Corey Norman's 40-20 last week in round one. That was a cracker.
Not even just Friend's the 40-20.
Wow.
Off one of those, there was a poor kick chase where two or three guys overran the play. He ran down there, tackled Brenko, was about to take off, then jumped out of marker. Next play, grabbed Hopewadi before they got to shift the ball. He basically killed that set. Yeah. It was a guaranteed try. The repeat set off the grubber. He's the one who followed in, made the tackle. So many little dirty efforts off the ball, all the little stuff that you just don't
have the smarts and the finesse of a Smith, but he's definitely got the same sort of animal work ethic. And
well, he's still improved his game though under Robinson. Robinson got there and want him to be more creative and kick, and he's added those pieces to his game.
There was actually a couple of key kicks for goal on dropouts that were key as well.
I thought he was brilliant. And Orbison,
I think Pierce is playing as good a football as I've ever seen. And Keary, offensively, very, very good. He's just got to sort out
exceptional
his defence.
As far as the Dogs, like I said, they lost Hopewadi. That was hard for them. Holland early and Eastwood off, so a couple of.
Yeah, but they led 12-0. They need to get a goal kicker to start with, because the difference between 12 and 18 is huge.
Well, they lost Holland, which didn't help. He's usually the goal kicker.
But that's rubbish. There's two guys. You need to have at least two or three guys that can goal kick. They should all be doing the goal kicking sessions. It's no excuse. You're a professional footballer.
Yeah, well, nothing great for them. Again, they got a couple opportunities just off some errors there. I thought Sam Cassiano, he had a bad night. When he got on there, a couple of penalties and errors. Usually good at turning the game.
Well, he dropped one over the line, I think, when they're up 12-0.
Yeah,
it sort of turned the game a little.
Didn't really help the situation. But as far as things go, the Bulldogs this week, they get the Warriors. They're going to have a couple of players missing. Brad Abbey, I think it's probably time we finally see him make his first grade debut, unless he puts Brett Morris at the back there and picks Marcelo Montoya on the wing. But, you know, what do I know? They've just brought him over here and left him sitting there for almost 18 months now. So
yeah,
interesting to see if they finally use him. And the Roosters, they play Penrith out here. That should be a cracker game of football. The Storm, speaking of the Warriors, 26-10 over New Zealand over there, in the wet 2 weeks in a row. I thought the back three, but Adokar dropping that one ball, which led to a try, were exceptional.
Yeah, they were.
Vunivalu, I can't believe the physical specimen. He's changed in 12 months. He looks absolutely like just an absolute monster. Addo Carr looks a bit bigger as well. His yardage work surprised me. And Cameron Munster's exceptional. I'm just going to throw it out there. If Billy Slater comes back and things aren't good and the health is bad, we really have no qualm putting him back at fullback. No. We've got a great player there. And I think, again, the forward pack really stood up. Dale Finucane and Jordan McLean in particular, really leading from the front. But
I think Jordan McLean, to me, was a standout in that game. He... his carries, I said it on Facebook, he'd be my bolter for New South Wales. He's just dirty, he's tough, and he's young. Look,
well, this
I'd rank him... Who are the best front rowers in New South Wales? Like, they're saying Woods. I'd take him over Woods.
I'd pick McLean over Woods. I'm with you. We've said this argument a million times. I don't think Woods has an impact on a game. I think his numbers are there.
I thought Penrith dominated Woods yesterday.
I didn't see him in the game yesterday at all. I didn't see it offloads. I tell you what I did see a lot of, which I have a problem with, too much pre-line passing. He's doing a lot of tipping on this year instead of doing his job. They need him to lay a platform. So I don't know quite what he's doing.
Particularly without Jesse Bromwich. You know, like, it's easy for him to roll on the back of Jesse Bromwich. He didn't have him there.
No.
He was in the wet. There's no room for lateral movement against a big pack.
He's the number one prop right now. So he's taken that first carry, which kicks a set off.
That's what I'm saying. Usually he'll play the next play after Bromwich, which it may be the easiest carry for a front row in the comp.
Finucane, again, hands down, massively underrated, and another guy.
Yeah, he's...
If he was in a rep jersey, he'd fully deserve it. I think he was exceptional again. Cronkett Smith, I thought Smith was great at a dummy half in the conditions of Cronk as well. But all around, like you said, suited him to the ground, minimal errors. In that absolute torrential weather, I think Melbourne made six errors for the whole game.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are okay.
Yeah, but losing Sheck early didn't help. I think Hingano and Johnson
being... Hingano was poor.
They're pigeonholed to about one side of the field, though. I don't know if that's Kearney's idea, but Johnson can't be pigeonholed to one side of the field. If he's as exceptionally talented as what we've seen, he needs to play what he sees both sides of the ruck. He can't be pigeonholed to one side of the field. And Lola here and Carter didn't have happy days in the wet. Carter dropped one out of the line. I think number one, like you said. Not really surprising in those conditions they struggled, but... I didn't take a lot out of that one as far as the Warriors were concerned. I thought Bunty Arfola was pretty good again, you know, playing on that edge. So it's probably one positive, but no surprise to see Melbourne grind out a win in the rain. And this week, first home game against the Broncos. This is a game that they've dominated generally in the past. They've got a ridiculous record.
I think the last two they've lost. The Broncos flogged them there, I think, last round last year, no?
If I remember correctly, it was the game.
And it was the 8-0.
We watched the game in Mudgee and we beat them by 40-something last year.
That was up at Suncorp. I think down at Amy Park.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
The Broncos have won the last two. The Broncos beat them there around 25, and the Broncos had that massive defensive performance. Remember the year before?
No, those are their origin players.
I know that. But so, I think the Broncos have won the last two at Amy Park.
Their general record against Brisbane, though, is pretty exceptional.
And their record down there at Amy Park is very good. So
going home this week and potentially the return of Slater. Look forward to that. The Warriors play the Dogs, as we said before. But speaking of the Broncos, they played the Cowboys 21-20. Four out of the last five games, golden point. Just absolutely ridiculous to watch this happen again. And I tell you what, the Cowboys have become the masters of the heart attack. They really, really love taking things deep into the game. They did it with Campbell week one. Golden point 2 weeks in a row. This was back and forth, but I kind of got the feeling, no offence to the Broncos, I thought they exposed the fullback not being at home twice for tries, but I think the Cowboys let them back into this one a couple of times, to be honest.
They did. They played with their food massively. This game shouldn't have gone to golden point, but I thought they got a couple of stiff calls as well, the Cowboys, like obviously the forward pass that we spoke about earlier. But I thought the Cowboys did really, really well for the first 30, not to concede more points. I thought Brisbane were rolling through them. They looked faster. They had more enthusiasm. And then Cowboys just weathered it, and they just managed to get points, don't they? Whenever they get possession, they're just so good at converting possession and field position into points so quickly. So that they could compete with any side while they got Thurston there. And I think Coote's starting to pick back up. Obviously, he's now injured, but I thought his form was starting to pick back up. He seemed like he lost a lot of confidence last year. And for me, I think Malcolm Morgan's been quiet.
I thought he was pretty good the other night, to be honest. Yeah. He ran the football plenty. The one for me that looked sharp the first two games was Granville, but yeah. I still have an issue with him benching him for as long as he does. He can't take
well,
him
he'll
off.
Never,
and Ben Hampton, I'm sorry, he was at Melbourne, and I didn't like him when he was down there as far as a bench utility, but to be playing him there now, it's a wasted spot. You've got to carry the extra forward. You've got Asiata, who can play those kind of roles if you really need him to,
yeah,
for 10, 15 minutes, and you can move him in tight and take a forward off.
Yeah,
I have no problem with you having a patch-up hooker if he needs 10, 15 minutes to breathe, but you can't carry Hampton.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Just my absolutely. Opinion. So they're quite disappointing. I thought on the Brisbane side of things, Benny Hunt had a better week. McCulloch was very, very good. Boyd, good again. Forwards weren't too bad, but as far as the Cowboys, massive injury toll. I think Bowen comes in on the wing there. Ponga gets a crack at fullback. Hess can play in tight. The issue for them is if Taumalolo is suspended as well, because potentially you're looking at no Taumalolo.
Did you think that was a shoulder charge? I think last year it was. Yeah, this year I don't think it was, because it was from front on.
Fanua Blake's and Tapau's efforts from week one and they got suspended, he's going to get pinned.
Okay.
So their new interpretation, I think there's no way.
Yeah, but I think the argument was that Fanua Blake and Tapau's, the arm was tucked in, whereas Taumalolo's arm was out.
I still think he's going to get pinned.
I don't know.
I'd be disappointed because, you know, I thought it was a good shot, but again, it's one of those things now.
It's one, as a coach, you go, man, just wrap your arms
why?
In.
Why? Exactly.
Wrap your arms. What are you doing?
Kind of in the moment. It's a good hit, but you take the wind out of the sails, and he said F a million times after because he realised what he'd just done.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to get a week, so it's probably going to hurt the Cowboys. But they play Manly at home, so if they're going to have anyone coming up there who's under pressure and be playing at home, it's a pretty good situation given the changes they're facing. Hard one for the Broncos to go to Melbourne. But Newcastle against your Titans, 34-26. Ex-players day, they had their 17 most capped players there. Very eventful day, and obviously they got the result. It was their first win after a 19-game drought.
How they went in at halftime down will do me. I think it was 16-14 the Titans led at halftime, which was a miracle. Newcastle were faster, stronger, played with more passion, they played smarter, and I have no idea how... You know, with 7 minutes to go, the Titans led. It took the Titans to kick out on the full twice for Newcastle to score. I just got the feeling that Newcastle were just shocked that they were even in a game. A little bit of not knowing how to win, which is understandable when you haven't won a game for almost a year. Mm. A lot of young kids there. I thought the Gold Coast, that's as bad of a performance from them as I've seen since John Cartwright era at the club. And we had a year there where we finished with the wooden spoon. That's as low as a performance as I've seen from them in a very, very long time. The halves were ordinary. I thought young Lawton went really well out of hooker until he got injured. Jared Wallace was good. Ryan James, I thought he lacked enthusiasm, lacked any punch. Like, he did his carries, but there just wasn't a lot to anything they did. You know, a couple of tries they scored were lucky. Look, I think Newcastle can take a hell of a lot out of that. They were really, really good. They played with a great amount of passion, speed, and they thoroughly deserve their victory from my point of view.
Yeah, well, again, from the bits I did see, and I only heard a bit on the way home and then saw some highlights, it looked like Brock Lamb had another good game.
He had a good game, yeah.
Good spot for him. Levi still sharp at a dummy half. Nathan Ross doing what he does. Got another double, I'm pretty sure, if I heard correctly.
Yeah, the Ross dog.
Lightning. Just those young forwards I'm a big fan of. Barnett again. Mataudi is looking pretty safe in that back row position.
Yeah, they just look more aggressive. Like, they ran harder, they tackled harder.
There's a lot to like, and going forward, all those guys are going to get better and better. So I heard Matty John say yesterday, they went in the dressing rooms afterwards and they were really, really surprised, not so much surprised, but really, really happy that they've got Bura and Kostjo's in there, in particular Bura, and he's just been great for the group. So it's good to hear some positives coming out of Newcastle on that. They have the winning song printed out because no one had a clue what it was, which you're not surprised with a bunch of young kids.
It's sad, but at least things are turning up there, and Nathan Brown has done a really good job.
Yeah, exceptional job by Nathan Brown. And Newcastle Knights at home again this week, play South Sydney, the Titans. They go home to play Parramatta, so a tough game there. South Sydney we speak of, 38-18 over Manly. They were down early, but they found fight. They looked awful, and it looked like it was going to be another bad day, but as I said during the week, if you're missing three front rowers and they're missing a fourth in Lussick, you're not going to do too much without having any middles. And I thought once South took control and held the football, both the Burgess brothers, all the forwards there, Crichton, etc., they just rolled through the middle. They punched holes through them. Cody Walker, exceptional player last year, he was absolutely outstanding. And that was the main difference. They just ran right over the middle, got a bit of roll on and found some points. And the only real positive I can find for Manly were the two Trbojevic's.
Yeah, watching this game early, it looked like Manly by how many? And again, goal kicking. They scored three tries, didn't convert any of them. It was only a 12-point lead. I can't defend Manly, because Manly, to me, across the park, had a better side, apart from, obviously, their holes in the front row. They led 12-0. They're at home. Sunny day. The way they defend it was disgusting. It's as bad of a defensive display as I've ever seen. There's a one try where Cody Walker scores. Dylan Walker's standing on his try line, sliding out while Cody Walker is running at him, overs at him, and he scores on his inside shoulder. That comes back to coaching. I think the coaching there, the defensive system that they're running there, isn't working. It's got several flaws from a technical point of view. And if that's what they're coaching at Manly, it's going to be a real long season, because they're not going to stop many tries while they're sliding and having no line speed while the ball's on their inside shoulder. It was dumbfounding, some of the stuff they produced. As you said, the Trbojevic brothers were sensational. Tom in particular, his ability, he scored one try, set a try up, I think, for Daly Cherry Evans. Yeah. And he just ran around the side and offload something from nothing. For South, I think it was a real tough performance. Like, to be down 12 after the flogging they got last week, for them to come out and turn that around and put on a good show like they did, particularly away from home, it was good. Good, solid win by South. But I have real question marks over the form of Manly. Cody Walker, best player on the field. His running game, and Reynolds unlocks Walker. Like, watching Walker play with Kelly last week was painful, because it put so much pressure on Walker to have that responsibility of pushing the side around and kicking and just the things that he doesn't want to do. Yeah. Like, he's basically a fullback in the six jersey that can throw a nice pass, and he's playing six because Inglis is at fullback and it's the best thing for the team. But his running game, and he's so aggressive, he doesn't mind getting belted. Like, runs into the line, he'll take the ball when he's ball playing right into the line, and they're the type of players that you need to be able to pull a defence apart. But how easily he did it was embarrassing to Manly, and particularly at home. Some of the ex-players in that previous Manly generation, your Watmows, your Stewarts, these guys would have been shuddering at the way how soft Manly were.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded as well. I thought they were really, really poor. Besides Trbojevic, just couldn't see a whole lot positive from the side of South. Cody Walker outstanding. Good debuts by the two Penrith boys as well, Robert Jennings and Braden Burns, seeing their first grade debuts there. Burns, actually.
Well, two boys I had in the 20s, so good to see those boys pushing through into the NRL.
Yeah, and George obviously got back in there. I thought he made one or two poor errors, but his carriage looked a lot more like the George of a couple of years ago. So hopefully Tom finds his way back in. They need those guys firing for them to have any chance to generate some rucks.
They do, yeah.
This week they go to play Newcastle, that is the Rabbits, and obviously Manly. They play the Cowboys up there, so not getting any easier. Cronulla, Canberra, 42-16, 10 all at half time. I thought it was sloppy by both, but there's no way I would have expected them to come out in the second half and score 30 points unanswered against the Canberra Raiders at home.
Yeah, well, a lot of errors. Again, their defence wasn't real good.
That right side, the Raiders, got destroyed. Blake Austin, Soliola, Leilua. There was, in particular, poor decisions by Blake, and you could question his defence on a lot of occasions. But
it looked like at stages, sometimes they're sliding, sometimes they're coming in. Guys are, one's rushing in, one's holding back. Worrying signs for Canberra. And I'm not sure whether Cronulla are obviously a very, very good side, but I think Cronulla's strength is their defence. I don't think it's particularly their offence, and I don't think Cronulla are going to blow too many sides away this year.
No.
They might blow away your lower sides, but for them to blow away Canberra and Canberra like they did was very surprising to me, and it highlights some real concerns with their defence,
yeah,
particularly. Well,
an attitude, and I think discipline was an issue again. There were some penalties there, so that was one thing I highlighted the week before. But I suppose the bench isn't as strong as what it could be just yet either. If they get back Priest and Taylor's available the week after, and there's obviously Croker and Tapine, so that puts Whitehead back, which puts a few more guys onto the bench. I'm not really concerned just yet, because their bench is going to get a lot stronger, and so is their starting side, but very worrying signs to go home and get absolutely shellacked the way they did. I thought the one positive was Whiten on return. Had a pretty good game there at the back, obviously, after missing some time, but there wasn't a whole lot else you'd be happy about there. I thought Wade Graham obviously got the hat-trick and set one up. Fifita was really good, Maloney, and then Brayley had another very good game. So two games in, he's looking pretty solid for them. Whether Seguiara is coming
around. That was by far and away his best game, Brayley. He was...
Well, there's only two games quality. In, but you see enough
quality. Yeah, no, but I watched the game in England, obviously, and he was really poor in the game in England. He defended okay, but... He attacked okay. His defence was a massive concern. And I had concerns in this game because I thought Canberra would target them in the middle and really go after him, but he held his own and he was, yeah, really, really good. So I'm just saying his rate of improvement is surprising me. For him to improve so much, even in the three to four-week period, is a really good sign for Cronulla.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't have a whole lot to say about this one, or I can't say too much, but Canberra's going to get stronger. Whitehead will get back to the back row. Croker's going to come back in. All those changes.
Why is Whitehead... Whitehead's also playing on the opposite side of the field of what he was last year. He's playing on... I think at the moment he's playing on the right, and last year he was on the left, and he's playing at centre, which is unfamiliar.
Yeah, so well, they've had to put him on the opposite side.
I get all that. Well, you don't have to. When he plays back, surely they can put Kotrick in the centres and bring in a winger or reshuffle the side that way.
Well, I'm looking at the New South Wales Cup side that I watched on the weekend. It's Eddie Iona on one side and Brent Naden's been playing in the centres.
Why can't they bring Eddie Iona in?
There's a couple of guys like that, but I just think they probably don't want to put the kid in the centre spot to defend. But the one who's been playing well, got man of the match for us on weekend in the New South Wales Cup, was Jordan Turner, but he's been playing 5-8. He set up two tries, scored one. Tell you what, he can kick goals and he can kick a ball. Some of the touch finders on the weekend, he was kicking the ball.
Yeah, he's a good footballer.
I don't know how much centre he has played, but that's definitely an option for
him. He's going to give him a good utility value, particularly with MG's younger brother out for the year. What's his name?
Baptiste.
Yeah, out for
the year. They've got Clydesdale there. I don't know how well that's going to work out.
But I think Turner's going to give him that a real good option for, like you said, halves, hooker, back row, centre. He can play.
Been playing at six and he's been pretty good the last 2 weeks, especially on the weekend. But Canberra, they play at home again against the Tigers. Last year they shellacked them 2 times by 50+. Good opportunity, you'd think, to bounce back. And the Sharkies, they go home for their clash against the Dragons.
Pick that game. Pick the Raiders bloody Tigers game.
I'll be tipping the Raiders.
Same, but no fear, I mean, wow.
Have to see what happens in that one. But moving on to the Tigers, speaking of them, they got smashed by Penrith 36-2. 30 minutes, it was 2-2, and I thought Penrith did a really good job to hold out the Tigers, to be honest. The Tigers had all the ball, all the momentum.
They didn't hold them out. Sully dropped it over the line, and I didn't think that forward pass was a forward pass. So it should have been 14-0 Tigers, which would have obviously changed the way that the game was played from then on, but Penrith defended really well, you're right.
Yeah, they did a good job, and then obviously from the 30th minute onwards, they just exploded. They found 3 tries through Farre, Kikau and Edwards before half-time to make it...
But before that, they kicked that bloody penalty goal.
Yeah, from 40 out, which was just...
Why? They're down... And whose call was that?
I don't know, it was a neutral Moses.
Whose call do you think it was? Coaches or players?
Well, I didn't even see Moses look over. He basically grabbed the team pointed straight away, so if that was his decision, that was a pretty poor one, but...
Yeah.
2 points from 40 out with the win or not, basically.
Penrith were cheering when that happened.
Very negative. I thought that was an exceptional explosion to get those 3 tries. I thought Edwards was very, very good coming in yesterday. Kikau, like I said, great to see him finally playing.
Well, he saved a try, Edwards, yesterday. Yeah.
Saved one, scored one.
Could have been 18-0 Tigers.
Yeah. Well, saved one, scored one, and set one up. He had a very good game yesterday. Farre looked good when he's healthy, as he always does.
Yeah.
Playing on the wing there. Just their forwards in general, you got to tip up. They were much better. They got a roll on. They played direct. The ruck speed was there. And Tyron Peachey, what an exceptional
game. Tyron Peachey, yeah.
4 line breaks and just everywhere. And early on, the attitude difference again. When he took that tap and ran all the way back to the halfway, he plays well above his weight. But
Yoey was good. Merrin was good. It's hard to really...
The whole side was good.
Moylan had some nice touches at the back.
Penrith were exceptional across the field.
I still think Cleary's been quiet the first 2 weeks. Yeah, hasn't been bad, but quiet. So
I think Martin's been better both games.
His best football still to come, so that's a good sign for Penrith as well. And you wouldn't want them to be jumping out of the ground now. You want their game to be developing and getting better as the season goes on. So I think it's good signs.
Well, also last year he basically played as the dominant man without a genuine half next to him. Cartwright can play six, but Cartwright's not handling the ball anywhere near as much as he was. Now he's got Martin, they're going to have to find a way.
It was interesting to hear Mark Gasnier last night said it might be better with Cartwright out for a little while for them to play without Cartwright. And then Anasta sort of said, no, you're a goose. Like, you'd rather have Cartwright in because he's such a good player. But I can sort of see the point that Gasnier was trying to make.
I see missed tackles and errors, and I was happy that he's out because I prefer a Yo who does a job for me. I prefer a Fisher-Harris who can punch a hole. I like pretty much someone who's not there that I don't know what I'm going to get every week. Bryce Cartwright on his best day is an exceptional talent, but Bryce Cartwright the week before also made 4 errors and 7 missed tackles.
Mm.
Let a hat-trick of tries in on Joel Thompson on the same line. So
I just question whether Cartwright's head's really where it needs to be at the moment.
I'm with you. I prefer the tough option.
And I don't blame him for not having his head in football if there is all that stuff going on.
But I'll still always take the safe option and the tough option.
But don't you think from a Penrith perspective, and I'm just talking from a wider club, GM, don't you think it'd be better to get out in front of this story, the Cartwright story? I just think get him in front of a press conference. No holds barred. Come in, ask what you want. It's all out on the table.
Well, this kind of...
And then let's move on.
Kind of
because at the moment, it's just burning, simmering away in the background. It hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, well, the thing about this is this came a day or two after he did go in front of the media and say about the situation with his girlfriend and that he thought he handled things poorly with their breakup and he was sorry about her. And then a couple of days later, it came out about this other girl and it all kind of boiled over again. So I think he's more in hiding or a bit rattled about...
Yeah, but the longer he hides, it's not going to go away.
It's not
going
to go away.
It's not going away.
That's up to the club, and they're the ones that would be telling him, we're not going to hop out here and you're not going to speak and we don't want you to say anything. So that's obviously an internal issue.
Obviously, the focus needs to be on the football.
Yeah, 100%.
But at the moment, it's not because this hasn't been dealt with.
Why he's playing poor or anything like that, they're going to keep picking at it.
Exactly.
So now he's injured. They reckon it's not a bad injury.
They reckon he's going to play this weekend.
They reckon it was just bone bruising. So he's got a possibility of playing. But the Tigers, again, like we said, a few people last week going off about our season predictions. That's why we say... take him with a grain of salt and don't be offended, but one game later he didn't score a single try.
It's never personal.
No, it's never personal, but one game later he didn't score a single try and we said consistency. We want to see it, and again...
And these halves, it's...
Yeah, no consistency.
Tedesco is the only one that is consistent.
Yeah, he's the man as far as that side goes. But the Tigers this week, they play the Raiders down there in Canberra. The Panthers go home to play the Roosters. That's a cracker game. But wrapping things up, the Parramatta Eels 34-16 over St George. I thought they were dominant, particularly in the middle. They played a tough forward pack. They're uncompromising. They're in the mould of their coach, quite honestly, Brad Arthur. And that left edge was red hot. Norman, Ma'u, Jennings with that pass. He should have had a try or another try assist if he didn't drop that football, which was the open try line. But I also like the way they find involvement for someone like a Semi Radbrar, who's such a weapon, and dropping him back inside that inside trail. And the spine again, Gutherson, Pritchard, I think they both played some good football and they got an X factor in Bevan French at the back.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. The Dragons were dog shit. They were terrible. They dropped it off the kickoffs, conceded a try after 30 seconds. That's not what you want, not how you should start, particularly at Wollongong. And then from there, they stunk it up until 3 or 4 minutes before half time when they got a bit of a roll and they went back to what they were doing. They rolled through the middle and they scored a nice try. And then they rolled again the set after that. Looked like they might even get a penalty. They were rolling so well. It could have even been 18-8 at half time. I think they were fortunate that the Eagles couldn't kick a goal because it should have been 24-22-0. Gutherson couldn't hit the side of a barn. So I think he kicked one from four. And they strung together probably a good 5 minute period to start the second half, the Dragons, but outside of that they were terrible. They were really, really poor. And that's why, as good as the Eels are, and I think I'm getting to the point where I think Corey Norman, I've got no doubt Corey Norman's in the top five players in the game. I don't know where he sits in terms of from one to five. He's definitely not one. He's probably closer to five than he is one, but he's a one man band there. Like, because Gutherson, it's very easy for Gutherson to play the way he does because he's got Norman creating so much, and Bevan French hasn't really had to do a lot. Kaiser Pritchard, I think he's just doing his job. He's making it so much easier for the rest of the spine, Norman, in the way that he's playing. And how long can he continue playing like that? On that form, Queensland have to pick him as their 14. Have to.
Well, he can play fullback. He can play as a floating 13. He's better probably in that role than what Cherry Evans is, to be honest.
Once Thurston retires, like we're looking at, and I said this to you last night via text, you know, you're going to have Kronk, Smith,
Durson, Morgan and Norman tomorrow.
Those guys, yeah, but those guys retire. He's the best player in the game outside of those guys for me. Smith, Kronk, Thurston, when we're talking key position players, Tedesco would be right up there for me as a guy that's really going to go to that next level. Norman for me is the standout half in that age bracket of players. He could single-handedly take Parramatta to the promised land. He's the player they've been waiting for. Now it's probably just about finding either a nine or a six to go with him that can really complement his game. Well, because they've got it in French.
I still think French is going to grow there, and I think Pritchard does a bit what Pete's did, though. If you watch the defensive efforts and the line speed and setting a tone, he's not the most
They're talking about getting Pete's back, as much as I'd hate to see
Pete's injury prone, to be honest. At this point in time, for what I've seen the last couple of years, I wouldn't be able to invest that much money in someone that's never on the field. So
yeah, fair.
I'd struggle to come to grips with that, but I look at their forward pack, and again, I know you're giving Norman a rap, but you need your forwards to go forward, and I think they do a great job. I think Matangi,
well, I've been critical of Manor as well, and I think he's been, that's probably the best two games of first grade he's played in 3 years.
Matangi's a human kamikaze. You've got Ma, who's exceptional, and tell the other one who's going to come back, assumingly, is probably Edwards if he sorts his situation out. So I think they're...
Well, he's going to be back.
They're only going to get better as far as their pack, and they play in the mould of their coach. He's an angry, angry man. He expects line speed. He expects great contact and those blokes to rip in, and they certainly do.
Yeah, so. Look, they got the Titans this week. They'll smash the Titans, or they'll beat the Titans, I'm pretty confident, and they're going to be 3 from 3. I just want to see him play a better side. The Dragons, well, that just highlighted, again, that C-word.
Consistency. And again,
them and the Tigers. I tipped the Tigers, I tipped the Dragons, because I thought, you know, maybe this is the year where they do become consistent.
Well, too much talk again during the week. Everyone bagged us. You said this, well, you this said is that. They all beat their chests, and then a week later you dish that crap up. So that's why people had you down the bottom of the ladder. So, you know, a couple of teams there that come back to reality. But that wraps up the reviews. You've got our set of six. We answered your questions in our power rankings. Make sure you answer any more questions on the page. We'll put them up. And give us your power rankings. We'll put a status up there and get what you think are the top 8 sides. Now, we'll be joined by Mr. Gossip. We'll get any dirt that he's gotten, obviously, run through our tips brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. And 2 weeks in a row, we've been burned at the last minute as far as the bets are concerned. 1-12 on the Cowboys for the charity bet.
Well, I'm not going to cry because I bet the draw. I sent you a message at halftime saying I've bet the draw at halftime at 13-1. I couldn't believe the price. I'm just going to bet the draw every time they play now.
Given the pattern of the game, very surprising. But we'll get on to Mr. Gossip and those tips brought to you by WilliamHill.com. Henry, welcome back. A much happier Mr. Gossip this week. After week one tears and plenty of beers, the Penny Panthers grabbed a win for your champion.
Mate, fantastic. What a change in a week. As the old cliche says, a week is a long time in football, and the Panthers realised that, and so did the Dragons. So, yeah, it was good, mate.
There was a big difference, like you said, for the Panthers and the Dragons, and obviously I think we spoke about before, they crashed back to earth, the Tigers crashed back to earth, Manly lost, South bounced back, always a couple of teams that seem to strike back in week two of the competition. But Gossip, mate, what's cooking this week?
Yeah, not a terrible lot this so early on, but I'll start with Matt Scott, poor bugger. Everyone's probably heard in the news already today that he's out for the season. But there is some good news for him, is that the Cowboys will re-sign him. There was all that talk that he will go to Newcastle, but hearing that it's pen to paper and he'll stay with the club.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be for the right amount of money.
Yeah, that's
particularly
for sure.
On the back of this injury. So that's, yeah, wow.
That's a big turn of events, considering I was hearing basically that McLean was going there. That was the done deal, swapping the old for the new. And, yeah, money was obviously the big factor. So that's a big change of circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's still on the Cowboys, boys. You just mentioned Jordan McLean. Well, I'm hearing that he's already signed with the Cowboys as well, and they're set to announce that. They just got to wait for that 10-day cooling period, and he put paper last Friday, so a double for the Cowboys.
Well, that's good. Yeah, look, it is a bit of a concern now, but with Matt Scott, like, having this injury, is it going to reoccur? He's old. But, yeah, like, if they're back, you know, you've got the old head in Scott and you've got probably one of the best young front rowers in the game in McLean. It's a good get. I'd probably rather have McLean than Tarmow, to be fair. So I think it's probably a positive for the Cowboys.
Well, the only thing I've got to take issue with now is they were talking they wanted clarity on the salary cap to pay for Tamalolo. But if they've paid all these other guys and they locked a lot of dudes in last year from their premiership side, how do they have any money left for Tamalolo if they're going to re-sign Scott and get McLean? So that's one to be worried about, I think.
Interesting.
All right, boys, what else have we got here? Titans, some good news for the Titans. They're set to sign Dale Copley. I think that's a good signing. What do you make of that, Boxhead?
He doesn't look too happy. Yeah, it's Dean.
That's where things have got to for us. Excellent.
Well, mate, he played all right in the weekend for a while, so...
Yeah.
He did. He played really, really well.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, good times. Dale Copley.
I don't have a comment.
He's not too happy. We've spent a fair bit of time today talking about the Titans. Obviously, there's been a fair bit said the first 2 weeks.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we decided to bring in Jared Hayne, and the rest will be history.
My next point, I was going to mention Jared Hayne until I jumped on your Facebook, boys, and there was quite a few people commenting under one of your posts not to mention Jared Hayne. So even though I'm kind of just have mentioned him, I won't mention where he's going, because at the end of the day, who gives a rodent's rectum?
Yeah, well, the other day, the only thing I'd heard, and again, no one really cares, was French rugby was on the radar, but good riddance, I'd say, for
what he's
dusted up and living all his dreams. He's got 1,000 dreams. He can go play French rugby for all I care, and I'm sure Brock agrees.
Yeah, piss off.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, last one for the night, boys. Coaches, already round two, and there's already rumours about coaches here, coaches everywhere. I guess the pressure really is on Des Hasler. I think it's 7 in a row now that the Bulldogs have lost, or might even be 8. I'm hearing that the axes are already out. Parts of the board from Belmore at the end of last year wanted him out. It was only the CEO, really, that kept him there. But she might be on the outer as well. So who will replace Des? I'll leave it up to you, boys. You guys are the experts. Who do you think would replace Des, and where do you think he'd be best fit?
Well, if I was going after a coach, the one that's sitting out there and we've been talking about him for almost 18 months now is Ivan Cleary. But obviously, he's been sitting on ice for a while. But if I was going to head in a direction and let someone flip the roster a little bit, make some changes, he'd be the one. But I'd heard similar to you about Raylene Castle also, but that she was interested in going home, not only being on the outer, but she'd had an offer from one of the New Zealand rugby union franchises. So that would be a big change, but Ivan Cleary would be number one on my list as far as what's available right now, who's not contracted to a club.
Yeah, Cleary's the obvious one. Outside of that, where do you go?
Well, again, if it's someone coming off contract...
Jim Dimmick was there, he did the interim role. I'm just thinking from a Bulldogs perspective.
And again, if you're talking players, people that were going to get sacked to come in there, like if McGregor got sacked, if Maguire got sacked at South, if any of those kind of guys that you're talking about being under pressure, I'd bring Cleary in before every single one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to think of an up-and-coming assistant. I can't really nail one down.
Dimitri at the Broncos, but you wouldn't hand in the reins to that kind of club, and he's obviously probably been groomed.
They could do with someone like him. They could do with someone that's going to come in and give them a new style.
I guess Bennett's preparing.
Cleary would as well. I think Ivan's going to have had almost 2 years out by the time he gets another gig, which is long enough to you relax. But then the other thing is long enough out to maybe see the fruit, you know, for what not coaching is, you know. Like, he might like what he's doing at the moment. You know, a couple of cruisy TV gigs and he gets to watch Nath play and he's probably on a good wicket, so...
He's still only young, though. There's plenty of money to be made. Yeah. I'm sure he's got some ideas and some things left over.
Whether he wants to coach at the Bulldogs.
I think he'd have a sour taste from the way things ended at Penrith, so I think he'd be the number one candidate. I think you'd probably agree with that gossip.
Yeah, look, if they do punt Des, does Des not find a job, or does he land the gig perhaps...
I think Manly,
the Dragons, or who knows?
He'll find a gig. Someone will be desperate enough to sign him.
Manly, I think, would throw everything back at his feet if that job became available again. I think he'd go back to Manly.
Yeah, there's worse coaches coaching in the NRL.
There's got to be pressure on Barrett, surely.
Yeah, massive. Fulton as well. Fulton's come back in, and he's the one who basically said, give the keys to DC and made some of these signings, and they're in a worse position.
Interesting times.
Very hard
times. But round two, we're already talking about coaches. I don't think we were doing that last year or the year before.
Seems to be one of those things that sometimes it pops up, sometimes it doesn't. But plenty of people on the hot seat. But moving on to the tips, and obviously given the odds, brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with WilliamHill.com. Last weekend, Brock got 4. We both got 5. So the total's now, Brock's on 8. I'm on 10. Gossip still leading on 11. Out in front there. So this round kicks off Thursday night. It is the Storm versus the Brisbane Broncos. Billy Slater most likely set to return. It's their first home game. I'm going to tip the Storm for the first time going home to Amy Park. They've got a good record against Brisbane.
Storm, it's down there. They're going to be tough to beat.
Gossip, what do you reckon, champion?
Yeah, if there's one team that's impressed me the most, it's probably the Storm. Just defensively, I think they'll be too good for the Bronx.
Yep, and the bookies at William Hill agree. $1.57 about the Storm, $2.40 for the Broncos, -4 is the line. 1-12, $3 Storm, $3.75 Broncos, and 13+ Storm, $3.10, $5.50 the Broncos. On Friday night, starting things off, the Dogs, a couple of injuries, and going to play the Warriors, who struggled last week against Melbourne. This is tough to tip, but I will tip the Warriors with about zero confidence, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Dogs found a way to win.
Yeah, I'll tip the Warriors. I think The Bulldogs were quite lucky with the way that the Roosters played last week to even be in that game. And then I think the weather probably kept them in against Melbourne. So, don't know. You don't know what to expect with the Warriors, but I'll tip them over there and I think they'll win.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Bulldogs, boys. I'm sure someone will tweet us, but I can't see the Bulldogs losing. I think it might be 8 in a row. I'm not too sure. I should have checked my facts before I jumped on, but I just can't see them losing again. If they do, wow, the Niles will truly be out for death.
Yeah, well, I'm talking 4 to 6 games being the deadline on this extension or just his future in general. So the Niles will definitely be out. And the Bulldogs, they are outsiders. $2.65. That's pretty surprising how wide that is. Yeah. Warriors, $1.48 with William Hill. -6, the line. 1 to 12 for the Warriors is $3. $4 for the Dogs. 13 plus for the Warriors, $2.75. $6.50 for the Dogs. Brock's Titans on Friday night at home to Parramatta. Does LG play? We don't know. It's Monday, but he popped his shoulder. Don popped his shoulder. Jared Hayne going to be out as
LG
well.
LG won't be playing.
They're already pushed for depth as it is, so I think this one's pretty easy to tip. Parramatta, I'll be definitely getting on.
Titans are bad at football. Parramatta win.
Yeah, Parramatta win, boys, but very convenient that Hayne injured himself before this game.
Yeah, well, it kind of works out pretty funny, this one, and especially up there with Parramatta coming. But William, he'll agree with us. $1.40 for the Eels. $2.95 the Titans. -8 is the line. 1 to 12 Eels is $3.10. $4.35 the Titans. 13 plus for Parra, $2.40. $7.50 the Titans. Super Saturday kicks off. Newcastle back home again after breaking their 19 game drought. They play South Sydney. They got back on winning terms last week. The attitude never from Newcastle is exceptional. It's a hard place to play, but again, I still think this year you're going to see plenty of effort, but I can't see him winning a whole heap of games. I'm going to stick with South, but not a whole lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'll tip South, but man, I tipped Newcastle up there last week and
you tipped them round one.
They delivered. No, I didn't tip them round one, I don't think.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you almost got the result.
Yeah. I'm going to go against them this week. I think the longer the season goes on, I think the worse they'll play just because of depth and they've got a young side. So I'll tip South, but I don't know how to line South's form up because they've played the Tigers and got hammered
and
then played Manly, and Manly's form doesn't look real great. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Newcastle won again.
Yeah, I think the Knights were, if they're going to win, they're going to outsize their opposition. But my heart wants to tip the Knights. But I'll put it this way, I think the Knights will lose at half time, but South will get them at the end.
Yep, and the bookies agree with us there again. But Newcastle, much better odds than last year. They were always out in 6 and 7s. $2.25 for the Knights. $1.65 for William Hill for Souths. -3.5 is the line. 1 to 12 Souths. $3.10. $3.75 for the Knights. 13 plus. $3.25 for Souths and $5 for the Knights. Game two, an absolute cracker, probably game of the round, is the Penrith Panthers at home against the Roosters. Two heavyweights, hopefully this year in the competition. Very hard to tip because I know the Roosters have got two wins under their belts, but they've been a bit patchy. And if Penrith do what they did last week, they're going to be very, very tough at home. But I'm going to stick with the Roosters on exposed form. I want to see Penrith put a couple of weeks of that football together, but this should be a great game.
Yeah, I'll tip the Roosters just because I like what I've seen from them, and Penrith have been inconsistent. Penrith also not knowing whether Cartwright's going to play and a few injury concerns. So I'll tip the Roosters, but I think, yeah, you're right, it's going to be a cracker game.
Yeah, I'm going to tip with my heart, boys. I'm going to tip the Panthers. This might sound a bit stupid, but I kind of hope that Cartwright doesn't play. I thought our edge defence looked a lot better. Also, the error rate as well. So, Cartwright doesn't play. I'm going to tip the Panthers, as stupid as it sounds.
Yeah, well, they had this one go up as a pick'em for WilliamHill.com, but now the Roosters just edging into favouritism. $1.88 for them, $1.92 for Penrith. Half a point is the line. 1 to 12 for both sides, $3.10. 13 plus for both sides, $4.50. That should be a great game. But Super Saturday finishes Cowboys versus Manly. You'd think Ponga will play fullback, Jarvid Bowen on the wing, and probably if Taumalolo fails at the judiciary, they're going to have to probably bring in Fensham, Corey Jensen. Sam Hall got concussed last week, one of the front rowers they're possibly going to use, but a lot of changes. That's not going to discourage me from tipping them. Manly are bad at football, so Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, but bloody hell. I'll tip the Cowboys, but you take Coote, Winterstein, Scott and Taumalolo out of that side, there's some huge holes, and you know, can only take away so many before you come back to the field. So,
Thurston, Morgan, Granville, Cooper. I'm still happy with that side.
But a lot of players out, so and they've won their first two in Golden Point. Manly will probably be the more desperate of the two sides. So, you know, the line of 10, I think, is it's up there. I'll probably look at taking Manly with a start. But, yeah, I'll tip the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Cowboys, Yeah, I can't sit Manly. They look terrible. Don't think Barrett can coach some young Cowboys.
There you go. Pretty blunt and simple there. And with William Hill, the Cowboys, $1.28 favourites, $3.70 for Manly. The 10 start, like Brock said, is a line if you like that. 1-12 for the Cows, $3.05 for Manly. 13 plus the Cows, $2.15. You've got $10 there for Manly. Sunday starts with the Raiders at home again, desperate for a win. They're playing the Tigers, this side that they absolutely lapped twice last year by 50 and 60 plus points. I know they were bad last week and that right edge was bad, but the Tigers also can't defend. And typical inconsistency, I'm going to back Canberra down there. And it's the 4 o'clock game, so if it's sun shining, I think they'll absolutely blow the Tigers off the park. So.
Yeah, Canberra down there, they've got to bounce back. They go 1-3 and alarm bells start ringing.
Yeah, if the Canberra start as well as they did against the Sharks, I think they'll win. The Tigers, I know it's a term that gets thrown around in football a lot, a confidence player, but the Tigers, they're a confidence team. If they start shit, they usually end shit. So,
yeah.
Raiders.
Yep, and the bookies agree at William Hill. $1.45 for Canberra, $2.75 for the Tigers. -6.5 is a line. 1-12 the Raiders, $3. $4 for the Tigers, and 13 plus the Raiders, $2.65, $7. The Tigers. And to wrap things up, it is the rivalry game, the Battle of the Beaches, Cronulla versus the Dragons. Cronulla, massive win last week, even after losing a couple of players and reshuffling the bench, and the Dragons come crashing back down to earth against Parramatta. I'm going to tip the Sharks because it's at the Prison.
Any team with Josh McCrone in it, I shall not be tipping.
Fair call.
I'm off him. Cronulla.
Yeah, Cronulla by plenty.
There you go. And $1.40 with William Hill. They agree on the Sharks. $2.95 for the Dragons. -8 is the line. 1-12 for the Sharks. $3.10. $4.35 for the Dragons. 13 plus for the Sharks is $2.40. And it is $7.50 as far as the Dragons are concerned. So looking at this.
Yeah, well, I'll give you 750 to one for them to win.
We've gone Barry Basics after two controversial weeks and plenty of chopping and changing. There's only one game different here, which is Gossip.
Two. Me and you have picked the identical.
Oh, he's gone the Panthers.
Gossip's got Dogs and Panthers.
Panthers and Dogs. So you're on your own, champion. Me and Brock are going to score the same. You've gone out to try and boost your lead here. You've already got to a 1-point lead and 3 on Brock. You're trying to kick off.
No, mate. Right.
Yeah. This early on, it's a bit of a guessing game, really. But, we'll see how we go. And
you'll hit the dartboard more often than us.
Yeah, that's right. But we'll see how we go. A couple of games here. Obviously, a bit of interest for all three of us. I've been happy with Melbourne getting home, missing a couple of plays. Billy Slater's return at home. You've got the Panthers after a big win, after a poor start against the Roosters. A real contender. And Brock, regardless of the injuries, I'm sure you want to see something from the Titans at home against Parramatta.
I'm not going to see anything. I'm just going to see things that make me angry and want me to throw my remote into the wall like I did last weekend. So.
Oh, well.
How many remotes do you go through on a thing?
The first week I was at a mate's place and I stopped watching after 35 minutes. And this week, well, I was borderline. I was ready to turn it off after 20 minutes and then they sort of came back. And I did watch the full game this week, but we were going out to dinner, so I drank about 8 Peronis at dinner and just doused myself in Italian bathwater to just mask the pain of getting beat by Newcastle, who hadn't won a game in almost a year. So
yeah,
but well done Newcastle, you deserve to win. And you know what, I was almost cheering that you beat us. So
because I was rubbish. Messaging you through that game, and you seemed pretty calm, but obviously I can't see through the phone.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just used to it, mate. I'm used to just getting kicked out. Look, like I was at the Super Bowl when my team led by 25 points and lost, so it just can't possibly get any worse than that.
Yeah. Cracking, you poor bastard.
I feel bad, but at the same time, I don't feel bad. Go the Patriots. But that wraps us up for this week.
Tortured sports fan.
Brock, the tortured sports fan. I've had a bit of a golden run. I'm sure it's going to change at some point, buddy. And Gossip, hopefully the Panthers have a good one for you this week. Thank you, William Hill. .com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with them. They give us all our odds every single week. Gossip, enjoy your week, mate. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. See you next week.
See you, mate.
And that wraps us up for another week on the fifth and last NRL podcast. The next few weeks, we might have to put the questions out a bit earlier for all you people out there. Any of your issues, things for the set of six, because we got a lot of response, but a lot of those we couldn't answer, unfortunately, due to recording restrictions. I'm going to be on night shift the next few weeks, so we'll be recording earlier on the Monday afternoon. If we didn't answer your question this week on the show, I apologise, but we'll do our best to reply to you on the page and make sure you keep sending through those questions anytime you want, and give us your power rankings 1 to 8 always a good discussion for everybody. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Bring it on. Give us more. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.